Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and thanks very much for tuning in each and every week. We're on five stations in three different states, and we're really pleased that you get listen. When you go to any of these stations, if you go to the podcast, there's nine of them, by the way. Daryl, you got that list for us?
I sure do, Jeff. It's Apple Podcasts, Google Music Play, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartMedia, Radio.com, YouTube, and now PodClips.io.
Excellent. And any one of these things, you can join Malibu and join, not Malibu Funny. Malibu Funny is the company that sponsors the show, but you can join the Mortgage Voice. Mortgage Voice is this program that you hear. And if you do that, it'll help other people find the show. Finding the show for people who need information about mortgages is really what we're trying to do. It's important when you're buying a house, when you're refinancing, when you're researching for a son, a daughter, a grandparent, a cousin, a friend, somebody who needs help, somebody who just can't figure it out. This is the type of information that we give, and it's simple, it's straightforward, and we try to be unbiased with it. Sure, my company, the company I work for, they do a great job, but we bring lenders from all kinds of different companies onto the show, and today is no exception. We're going to have a couple of different lenders, plus we're going to have somebody in city government talking about housing. What is housing in terms of the requirements of each city to supply low-income housing to its residents, or at least have a plan to do so? With the environment that we're in today, and let's face it, if you're out there looking for a house, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're looking for any edge out there to try to get into that house. Mostly the edge you need is another $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, and that will certainly get you in, which leads to a number of other issues and a number of other problems. But I wanted to get to the scarcity of product in the market. There's a couple statistics here that jumped out at me. Let's see, the average home price, $376,000. It was a year ago, $410,000. This is average home price in America. That's a big number, by the way, $410,000. Let's see, the inventory down 40% year over year. That means last year at this time, the inventory was 40% higher. And anybody who was in the market last year is going to tell you, you were shopping and there wasn't a lot of inventory out there at that time. So to have 40% less, yes, that's a problem. That's why you have 7 to 10 multiple offers on every property that's out there. And I don't care what kind of property it is. Now, let's get into, okay, the home ownership gap. Yes, between white owners and minority owners is not necessarily a good thing. They're trying to narrow that gap. How do we narrow that gap? Biden administration is trying to deal with that. Talked on the LinkedIn show today, talked on the Facebook show today, just about that. What can you do as a government to try to promote or get more people who are of economically disadvantaged group? And a lot of those people are minorities. A lot of those minorities have the type of jobs that are still lost to COVID, even though last month? Anyway, 900,000 new jobs added, I believe, last month in March. And that's a lot. That's a big number. I mean, if we could do that for the rest of the year, we would get back down to pre-pandemic levels of unemployment, which is 3.5%. Now, we still have 8.5 million people out of work. Not good. Most of those people are at the low end of the income strata, and that's just the way it is. How do those people stay in housing? There's a moratorium extension through the end of the year, probably till early 2022. That just happened with the CFPB. CFPB is trying to do their part in trying to keep people in their homes as well as increase the amount of minority ownership. Now, there is a backlash all the time when the housing push is to get low income or minority people into housing. Now, why do we do that? Why does a show like this push housing for these groups? There are other groups that need help too, right? Every borrower wants a low rate because they don't want to pay. Every borrower is squeezed. The income inequality, the income has not really kept up with the way a lot of things have prices have risen. One of the issues with inflation is that when we get more people, that's why this 900,000 number figure of people who got their jobs back last month is somewhat troubling. Let's say we got 8 million people back to work this year. What would that do to the skilled worker, even the unskilled worker, and the pressure on an employer to pay more money? I.e., if you have 10 people looking for, you know, people to work for them and you only have 9 applicants, well, those 9 applicants are going to do better than if there was 20 applicants, right? Because obviously the market has to pay more to those particular workers. So that's an issue for inflation. Inflation itself is the cost of things and as they go up. Now, we've seen housing inflated, right? We saw the average home in the U.S. go up 11.5%. Some markets, 20%. Seattle, for instance. Boise, for instance. Both of these markets, the cost of housing has really risen like astronomically. Albuquerque, Las Vegas. I mean, you name a city that Malibu Funding does business in, and I can tell you that that city's gone up over 10% last year in housing costs. And how does that help in pushing more people into housing? Now, the reason I particularly think low-income people should have a bit of a boost, a bit of help. FHA does that, right? Because you only have to bring in 3.5% down. But there's a limit on the amount you can borrow from FHA. It's not unlimited. And the fact is that you have to compete with people who are conventional loans, and those loans to sellers look better than FHA loans. Why is that? Because there's a perception in the market that you're not as good a borrower if you go FHA. The real thing here is when you are cash poor, but you've got a job that can pay the mortgage, FHA is the way you have to go. And these programs, that particular program with FHA through HUD has been around in order to help people in that situation. The other thing about FHA is that credit scores don't have to be the same as they do with conventional. Conventional credit scores, if you've got, you know, 700 and above, you're going to get the best rate. If you are with FHA, it doesn't matter what your credit is, whether it's 580 or whether it's 750, you're going to get the same rate. Why? Because that's the way it was designed. You pay insurance with FHA. You pay 1.5% to get in. You pay 1.25%, 1.5%, something like that throughout the year divided by 12. So you pay insurance on your mortgage with FHA in order to get that loan. But in the open market where you're competing against people with conventional loans, it appears as if you are not as good a borrower, or that the loan will take longer to do. Neither of those are true, but that's the perception in the marketplace, which is why low-income people have a harder time getting a house when they put in a bid in this particular market. All of this, what does it mean? It means that, one, I'm still for low-income people and minorities getting into the housing market. My belief is, and the evidence will bear this out, people who own their own homes tend to take care of them more than people who rent their homes. People who own their own homes take care of their properties more than people who rent. People who rent tend to think, you know, it's like a rent-a-car. If you get into a little bump and collision and you bought the insurance, you walk away. Well, not homeowners. Homeowners tend to think of it as theirs. They own it. There's more an investment in the neighborhood, in the community. They tend to want to go to more PTA meetings. They tend to want to have more police involvement. It's not the fact that minority ownership will necessarily solve problems, but it doesn't create problems. People in rental income who are having difficulties paying the rent, there are issues with that. And transient neighborhoods with people going in and out are less stable. Obviously, the word transient means in and out, but stability is good for the neighborhood. It's good for the people who live in the neighborhood, and home ownership is the way to do it, which is why people who need to get into home ownership are the people who traditionally have not been able to get in. There are solutions. As I said, we got one of our normal guests on the show was just named a planning commissioner, in one of the cities in Southern California. So we're going to have Livera on, and she's going to talk about it. And I want to get to the heart of it and how that particular city, because these are local problems, national significance, because every community has them, but they're all handled each and every city. So anyway, I'm Jeff Barton. I'm your voice in the mortgage industry. Really appreciate you listening. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in each and every week. We are on, oh boy, we're on five radio stations, three different states, from Albuquerque, New Mexico, up to Las Vegas, Nevada. As everyone knows, we're in Lake Tahoe and the Southern California flagship at KCAA and KMET in the IE, yes, San Bernardino and Riverside Counties. Thanks very much for listening in. If you want to hear us via podcast, Daryl, you have a list of those for us?
I sure do, Jeff. It's Apple Podcasts, Google Music Play, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartMedia, Radio.com, YouTube, and PodClips.io.
Okay, PodClips.io, new podcast for us. Go to it. They got some great financial shows on there, and we're new. We're excited about it. Also, YouTube, if you want to see me, we shoot the show, and if you want to see me hear what we do there, go to Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice. That's on YouTube. That's our YouTube channel. Okay, each and every week, we bring to the show great people, people who know the industry, people who are in the industry. I try to bring on lenders different from Malibu Funding, who sponsors the show, to give you an idea that, one, there is a lot of competition out there for your loan. And there's a lot of answers to, you know, the age-old problem. How much does it cost and what can I get? All those are part of what we do. And today is no exception. I bring Honey Manderville onto the show from Me Mortgage. She hasn't been on the show before, and I really appreciate her doing this. Honey, how are you?
Great. Thank you for asking. I hope everybody's well as well.
Yeah, thank you very much. And how are you holding up during the COVID? How's business been the beginning of the year?
The beginning of the year saw some challenges because of the rates. Right. You know, uncertainty with COVID, but we kind of bounced back, holding steady. As you know, the rates continue to creep up, so yep. New products and new resources are coming out to combat those increases.
Now, you guys do QM and non-QM. Does the rate hike via what goes on with the yield at the bond market affect all products or just the QM products over there?
Well, obviously, it drives all business.
I see.
Because, you know, we're tied to the bond market. So that drives where we're yielding. And I know a lot of people are confused on, you know, what a yield is.
Yes,
and,
they
you
are.
Know, what that means, et cetera. But that's all, you know, when we're talking about QM qualified mortgages, the non-QM mortgages are also tied to the bond. So they kind of influxes there.
Okay, that's interesting. Now, we talk about the bond market all the time on the show, and we talk about what influences your decision to make you know, a mortgage with one person versus another person, why do rates go up, just to make sure that people understand that a lot of this is not in their control. And when rates are good, you should strike the iron while it's hot, right?
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely correct. So when people are telling you that you should get on the bandwagon and start refinancing and take advantage, they absolutely are watching the market, watching the trends, and they're speaking from experience.
Okay. Me Mortgage, tell us a little bit about the company, what kind of products you might offer that could offer solutions to some of these borrowers.
Well, Me Mortgage is a woman-run entity. It's ran by myself, Honey Manderville, and my executive vice president, Bonnie O'Hearn. We kind of flagshipped this company and started in December and took off in January. So we're really excited about that. We both have been in the business 30-plus years. So we have a wealth of knowledge. We've done all kinds of products. So now we're just getting into. Some people might think that's a little scary due to the COVID, but we're really excited. We're here to sell an experience and service. We may not be the lowest rate in town, but service and closing on time is really important, especially now that we come into a purchase market and away from the refi boom because the rates are, you know, creeping upward.
Yeah.
With that being said, Me Mortgage offers what we call our NADA, which is our down payment assistance program. And so that's for customers that are looking to get some financing with zero down. So they might have to come in with their, you know, earnest money deposit or some closing costs, but we're going to afford them to come in with, we're going to be able to capture their down payment with our second.
Okay, tell us about that product. Break it down for us a little bit. There are, as you know, and I think this is the major competition for you, is that in California, let's say that CalHAFA program, how does it differ?
Correct. So CalHAFA being unique to the state of California, hence CalHAFA. So right. CalHAFA is more of a grant-based, has restrictions as for, you know, as far as regard to, you know, debt ratio, et cetera. But our down payment assistance program is nationwide. So all the states that we're approved in, we have our down payment assistance, where CalHAFA is unique to the state of California. So that makes it unique. Also, the underwriting requirements are not as stringent as a CalHAFA, and we solely approve our loans instead of having to go get a CalHAFA second review for approval. That makes it a little bit as well.
So your company then does both the first and the second?
Correct. So it's a first at 96.5,
right,
based on your purchase price, and then a second at 3.5%, making a total combined of 100%.
Okay, and in this particular product, is it a forgivable loan? And what kind of you know, limits are there on the amount?
It's not a forgivable.
Okay.
It has a community reinvestment type second. That's tied to the first. You do have to use it in your debt ratios when you qualify, but it is a 6% on the second, you know, on the second rate, and then
right.
It's amortized over a 10-year period. But it is included in your debt ratio.
Okay, so 6%. Now, people jump right at that, and I often caution them. I say, well, my first mortgage, which wasn't all that long ago, was 8.75%, and I was happy to get it. You're talking about a second here of a smaller amount of 3.5% of a loan. You know, if it's a $100,000 loan, you're talking a very small amount, a very small interest rate. How has the market received what you're doing?
I'm sorry, can you ask me that again?
Sure, of course. How's the market reacting to what you're doing?
Well, as far as this program, we're seeing a lot of traction back east. You know, the southern states, we're seeing a lot of action there because it is nationwide. Home
right.
prices are usually a little bit lower. So we're getting a lot of traction there. Sometimes, you know, California, they're thinking about CalHAFA, and we're trying to introduce
sure.
them to this product. So we're getting a lot of, you know, conversation on this. It is a very good product.
Yep.
It does allow, you know, all FHA loan limits in all counties, which makes it nice. So we are getting a lot of conversation, and we're getting a big pickup on this now.
You know, you mentioned earlier that you are a female-run shop, owner and yourself, I assume, running the thing. What made you want to get into this from that standpoint? I know that from my own standpoint, I can tell you why I want to get out of it, but I can't really tell you why I got into it 25 years ago. Well, what was the reason to go that direction for you?
You know, me and my partner, Bonnie Ahern, we've been in the business, like I said, for, you know, over 25 years, almost 30 years. And
right.
we've been reps and very successful reps. And, you know, we've ran our own teams and our own sales teams, and we know what we like and what we don't like. So it was just an avenue to be able to, like, run something, call it your own, make it the way that you see it and envision it, and do something a little bit different. I know everybody says that. It's more
mm-hmm.
of an idea and an environment
yep.
that we're trying to promote. And like I said, we're not the lowest rate in town, but as far as service, we really pride ourselves on service. And that's something that we shoot for, because we, being wholesale reps back in the day, that was very important to us.
No, I agree.
The next legacy that we're trying to leave behind.
Yeah, I like the fact that you're striking out doing something that you believe in. I mean, if there's nothing else out there in what we do in the U.S., it's if you want to do it, go for it. And I think the barrier to entry in our business has always been there, but that you're doing it, I admire it. And having done it myself a long, long time ago, I know the struggles and the difficulties, but also the rewards are there too. So I really admire what you're doing. And congratulate you on doing that. Listen, could you also shout out a phone number for people to get in touch with you about these great products?
Sure. You can reach us at 909-815-4076, or you can call us on our 800 number. I don't have that number.
It's good. Just shout out an email or something like that, too.
So is that part we're going to blurb out?
No, that's perfect. It's called AM radio. It's excellent. You kidding? You should hear the mistakes I make all the time. But that number that you did shout out, what is that?
909-815-4076.
Excellent. Thank you very much, honey. Thanks a lot for coming on the show. I really do appreciate it. I want to have you back. I want to share in some of the successes that you're experiencing and that are coming due to you in the future. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
And you have a great day, too. That's Honey Manderville from Me Mortgage. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in each and every week to the show. Every time you say you like what we do, every time you join what we're doing, anytime you participate, it really puts us on the map for other people. Now, you may know a lot and you may get the answer you need today, but there are many, many people out there who are trying to get a mortgage, who just don't understand the process, who are trying to get comfortable with it because this is the largest financial decision of their lives. Yes, this is a show that can help. It's AM, FM radio, and you know what? We try to do it in a calm, easy manner and explain everything. And so if you like it, say you do, helps other people get involved with what we're trying to do. So as I said, we're on 5 radio stations, 9 podcasts, blah, blah, blah. But mainly what we do is bring great people to the show, knowledgeable people, people with experience, people from great lenders. This account executive is no stranger to any of that. He's great. Noah Shuffman from NewRez. I want to welcome him back to the show. It's been a while, Noah. How are you?
Good, Jeff. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Okay, let's get right to the heart of the matter. A little bit of a rising rate environment. What kind of programs are hot? What are you offering? And how are you helping your borrowers?
Sure, yeah. Like you said, rates are rising a little bit, but still at historic lows. And still a lot of opportunity out there for, you know, certainly we're going to be entering into the purchase market here. Well, we're entering into it now. It's the spring. I think you're going to start seeing more inventory come on the board here as we get further into the year. You know, with things seemingly starting to go in the right direction with COVID and the market starting to open up there. So I think that's exciting. And still a lot of opportunity for many, many people for refinances, whether you're trying to lower your rate, reduce payments, or you're trying to pull some cash out to do, you know, improvements around the home or other things that you've been putting off for a while. So there's still a ton of opportunity out there. And things that are hot, I mean, you know, we're in a really exciting time, I feel like, right now. The last year with COVID, you know, the secondary market, lenders, investors kind of pulled back on a lot of the ancillary product, the product that you don't see being backed by the federal agencies. That is all starting to open back up right now and has been for the last couple months and even more so as we speak and moving forward, which is exciting. So you saw a little bit of a pause there for the last several months to a year due to uncertainty, really, by investors in the market and wanting to purchase mortgage-backed securities, et cetera. You're starting to see more securitizations, more investors jumping back in, especially in the jumbo and the non-QM world, which, you know, you may hear of, you may hear them called all different kinds of things, whether that be an alternative product or a non-QM product or a non-agency product. That world is starting to open back up and in a big way, which is good. And so, you know, as far as my company is concerned and what we're offering, we actually just yesterday re-released our first jumbo program. NewRez, which is formerly New Penn Financial, we were kind of historically known as a jumbo lender and offered a lot of great options for jumbo borrowers, which, you know, is anything over the conforming or the high balance conforming limit, depending on where you live. we had, I think, 8 products before COVID hit, and we re-released our first one yesterday. It's called our Dream Big Jumbo Program. It's an A-paper jumbo program, which means, you know, fully qualified borrowers who are qualifying with full, you know, financials, tax returns, W-2s, right. That sort of thing, and good credit. This has been an underserved market for a year, and you know, for all intents and purposes, you were really able only to go to your bank to get these kinds of loans. And now it's opening back up to the broker world, which is fantastic because it means more options for borrowers, right, versus having to just go to their place where they, you know, their place of business for their banking. Our product specifically, it goes, you know, up to $3 million, has higher loan-to-value availability, up to 89.9%, and FICO's down to 660. So that's a little bit expanded from your standard A-paper jumbo, where right, it wants 720-plus FICOs or 740-plus FICOs and 80% LTVs or less. So it allows some pretty cool things. There's some nice little niche advantages to the program. I mean, off the top of my head, one being, you know, if you're selling your house and you're buying a new house, but your current home won't sell before your new one, we will allow you to exclude that payment from your debt-to-income ratio in that situation, which is great. Because if you can't exclude that, which oftentimes it's not a contingent purchase, that sort of thing, it's going to exclude the borrower from being able to qualify for the loan.
Yeah, no, that's like that alone is a very interesting way to do it. Obviously, you're not going to close until the first one sells, but you're not including that payment in the overall debt to income or the payments that they need to account for on the new loan, which is great. Obviously,
yeah, it really is. That's a really awesome little niche on the program, and the pricing is fantastic. Right now, we're offering fixed terms only. It's 15, 20, 25, and 30. You know, but as our industry goes, you know, the further down the road, you'll start to see, you know, depending on demand, you'll probably start to see ARMs come back out there, et cetera.
Right.
We also recently just re-released some of our portfolio non-QM programs or alternative programs. You know, generally, those are programs that help, for the most part, self-employed borrowers. But also real estate investors as well, or, you know, borrowers that just sit outside the standard A-paper jumbo what we would call conventional or agency-backed loans guidelines, and allow for all kinds of different alternative ways to verify income or go to higher debt ratios or even offer interest-only options. Self-employed borrowers, bank statement program, so that you can qualify the borrower on, you know, business deposits into bank statements versus reviewing tax returns. That's a great. Right now, we've released what we call our SmartVest program, which is a investor for real estate investors. You qualify off of the debt servicing of the property, meaning, if your rents are higher than your mortgage payments, your PITI, you qualify. So that's an awesome program for investors that, you know, maybe own multiple properties, many properties. They don't want to go through all the tax returns and all the headache with all the paperwork. It's a much easier way to close those loans. It also offers interest-only options, which real estate investors are always interested in. And then we also released our Smart Self program, which is the bank statement program for self-employed borrowers. And before too long, we're going to be releasing another program that we recently offered, which will be more of a kind of near mint agency. And that one I'm very excited about as well, because it helps borrowers who don't quite fit into the jumbo or don't quite fit into the conventional stuff, but are still good qualified borrowers that we can help get into homes or refinance and lower their current rates, say if they're in, you know, private money financing, that sort of thing.
Excellent. You know, sounds like New Res is obviously bullish on what's happening. A lot of new stuff coming out, revisiting some of the old popular products. Rates on the jumbo, where do they stand mostly? Does it depend on the borrower, FICO scores, things like that?
Oh, sure. I mean, that's always a loaded question, right? Because
right.
You hear things on the radio, or you hear the advertisements or see them on the internet.
Yeah, right.
The rate as low as X. But, you know, they're throwing out the highest qualified borrower with the most money down, that sort of thing. It's an eye test. So it always depends on, you know, the specific scenario, the specific borrower, what their income is like, what their credit is like, what their, you know, debt to all of that. But we're seeing rates on the jumbos on the like a 30-year fixed, you know, for a good qualified borrower, as low as, you know, upper twos.
Excellent.
Depending on the credit, depending on how much, you know, money you bring into the close and all of that. So there's a lot of factors that go into that, but we're seeing very good rates. I mean, my gosh, you know.
I agree.
Conversation 10 years ago.
Right. Think about those rates. Go ahead.
You go back.
Right.
You know, to 2006, 2007, when the market was really hot and people were investing and buying. My gosh, you were pleased as punch to get a rate for a 5 in the mid sixes.
Hey, Noah, I've got a time constraint here. Could you shout out a phone number for somebody to get in touch with you with these great programs? Really appreciate that.
Absolutely. And I am wholesale, right? So I don't know if this goes out to, you know, industry professionals or if it goes out to also consumers, but I am a wholesale lender. So I don't deal directly with consumers. I deal with the brokers and they're my clients and then they work directly with the borrowers, but you can absolutely contact me at 213-804-6211. That is my cell phone and I am available.
Thank you very much, Noah, for coming on once again. It's great to have you back, and obviously doing business with you again is always a pleasure. Thanks very much.
All right, Jeff, I appreciate you having me and look forward to continued success together.
Excellent. Noah Shuffman from New Res. I'm Jeff Barton for the Mortgage Voice, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show. We bring to you each and every week interesting guests, and we bring it to you on 5 stations as well as 9 podcasts. YouTube being one of them, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice. That's our YouTube channel. Go there, see the show. And if you like any of it, sign up. We'd love to bring you information. The more, the merrier. And the more people who sign up and like it, the more people we can get the information to. We cover the gamut. We've had a couple of great guests on the show talking about programs from different lenders. And we go now to the city front from someone who's been on the show many times, but has a new particular job that she's doing, Livera Becerra. Who is from, is it Covina or West Covina? Where are you?
West Covina.
It's West Covina. Okay. And she's on the Planning Commission, the vice chair of the Planning Commission. Wanted to have her on. First off, how are you? Thanks for doing the show.
I'm great. Thanks, Jeff. Always glad to be here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. First off, getting into city government, why would you do that?
You know, it was just something I could give back to my community. And I have a little bit of experience, you know, just enough to be dangerous. You know, I've got 20 years in mortgage and in real estate, and I know a little something about planning and permits and things like that. And, you know, I've been a longtime resident of West Covina since 1970 when my parents first moved out here. So I care about my community and I wanted to do something.
Okay, excellent. Now, I agree. I think a lot of these jobs are they're undervalued and they're certainly underpaid, considering it's probably like most cities, you don't get paid at all. It's just a thing you do.
Exactly.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about housing in general. Every city in the state of California, actually in the US, counties too, they have to have something called a plan. And in the plan is housing. And how do you deal with certain types of housing? And I know nobody's got any money nowadays, but how is a city, a small city such as your own, how do they handle the issue of trying to expand home ownership to people who might not be able to currently afford it, or to be able to provide something for people who are trying to get into the housing market. How you do that, and what are you doing about it?
Well, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, they actually have a community development block program, and they distribute grants funds to regions, you know, depending on which region you're in, how much you get. And that goes towards what each city is supposed to have an allocation towards some development to increase housing as, you know, the demographics increase and whatnot, all the population, I mean. So that being said, they have to be able to plan that into their build, into their communities, additional housing. I wouldn't say that they have a whole lot of money to give as incentive to purchase for anyone, especially at this time. I think the funds are very limited, and if there were, they're usually, you know, they're available at the beginning of the year and they're gone very quickly. But what I've seen, what they are helping with is normally the housing authority of, like, I'm in Los Angeles County, they would be in control of all that. But now I'm seeing it being delegated to different cities, like Baldwin Park is actually handling it for West Covina and the surrounding cities. They have their own housing authority now. So they're kind of trying to take hold of it locally to help, you know, get more help out to residents.
I see. Question. A lot of the needs of the community are passed on through the way that a home is brought in or renovations are brought in for approvals from Building and Safety, right? Building and Safety has a number of rules and regulations and different codes that they have to abide by. Those codes, in essence, either help or hinder people from building or getting into the housing market. Do you think in where you are, that it's more of a not in my backyard kind of situation, or is it more of a help to people getting in, or is it a completely separate issue that's not dealt with at Building and Safety?
Well, you know, it's interesting because the only items that come before me are the ones that the residents have a problem with. So if they're not happy about something, they have, you know, it's approved by the planning department, and then they have 10 days to appeal. They can get, you know, signatures, you know, petitions, whatever they want, and come before the board. And in that case, then we would vote on it. We would try to compromise if it's something that we can do, maybe, you know, a square footage, you know, of a home from another home, or, you know, their window's going to look into somebody's backyard. Well, let's make that window a frosted window. Let's solve the problem. We try to, you know, compromise, but there's only so much.
Right.
You know, as a resident here, I think about if I lived near it, you know, if what would I know? We recently approved 158 cluster homes, and those homes are, there's an abandoned school there, you know, and there's been numerous homeless people there. The woman there OD'd, you know, she overdosed. I think honestly a couple of rapes that happened in there. If I lived next to that, I would say build anything. Just get that place away, because they're probably, you know, ransacking people's cars and whatnot. So I'd say go ahead. And one thing I asked the builder to do is, because of the supply and demand, is if you could please make an incentive for West Covina residents to have first dibs, and if you can give them a buy-in incentive, something for our residents, not just anybody, but our residents. And they don't have to be public servants, just residents who have been, you know, living in West Covina, so they could benefit. And, you know, that's something anybody can do. You can go to your city, go before the planning commission, and tell them, you know, if there's going to be any new builds, because they have to have them, they have to have a certain amount allocated to those new builds every year. And so they want incentives for us. And that's something that everybody can do as well.
You know, solving the problem of housing locally is how the problem gets solved. And as you're demonstrating to us just by talking about what's going on in your own backyard, that it isn't simple, that there are always issues one side or the other. It could be something as like you say, a view ordinance. Somebody doesn't want to see something, or something larger, like obviously crime happening in a rundown school that hasn't been opened. All of these things are at the local area, and everybody wants to get involved and have a say. And at the other end of the How does someone who's nude, who doesn't know the situation, who's trying to break into that market, other than paying, you know, whatever it is, it's very difficult to have somebody who is low income get into a situation in a new town where they don't know anybody. These are some of the issues that we deal with all over California, because as you know, real estate prices here are insane right now.
They are. Actually, one thing I've learned about recently, and we're not going to change the prices in this city or your city or, you know,
nope,
any city right now. You just have to change where you want to buy. You're going to have to go further out. I'm even talking to my clients, you know, hey, you know, you can buy a manufactured home and you can buy that FHA. You just have to be clamped to the land. It cannot be a mobile home. But I've also heard of something that's very interesting. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's called the Future of Housing. They just did their first community in Rancho Mirage. They sold out completely, very quickly. It's called 3D Printed Neighborhood. And these homes are built half the price. And they're actually built out of concrete. They're actually 80% of them, I believe, are automated, the way they're built. And they use like 95% less hours. Construction hours of, you know, for labor, and they save more than 10% in loss of supplies and whatnot. So these things are built in half the time and they're half the price, and they're safe to be the future. So let's see what's, you know, I don't know what's going to come of that, but it'd be very interesting.
Shout out the name of that again for people who didn't catch it the first time. What's it called?
3D printed houses, and they're what I see that they're experimenting in the desert. So the first neighborhood, it was in Rancho Mirage. You can look it up. I've looked them up. They look very nice.
Well, thank you very much. That may be, obviously, cheaper price on the build is going to lead to cheaper prices for the buyer, hopefully. But thank you for coming on, explaining a little bit about what's going on, and congratulations on your new appointment.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you very much. You're welcome. Liver Becerra is also a mortgage broker, mortgage loan officer. And can you shout out your phone number for those who would like somebody to talk to?
626 area code 712-9920.
Okay, excellent. Thanks, Liver. Thanks very much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Jeff.
I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you, Carol. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in, listening to the show each and every week. 5 stations, 3 different states. We're from Albuquerque up to Las Vegas, Nevada, as well as into Tahoe and Southern California. In the Inland Empire, San Bernardino, Riverside counties. Hello, hello, hello. We got a couple of people from your area today on the show. Talk about some different programs, a couple of different lenders, Me Mortgage, as well as NewRez, returning to the company that I work for, Malibu Funding, who sponsors this particular show. I want to thank those people for doing it. This is a service that we do, really. We're not looking for you to buy into a commercial that we're the best out there, although I have to say we are, in terms of experience and the ability and availability of many different loan products. That's one reason you go to a broker rather than a banker. One reason you go to a broker rather than a bank is that being able to offer you the greatest variety of loan options, that's important. The company Malibu Funding, who I work for, only hires experienced people who've been in the business a long time, who really understand the marketplace. Now, the marketplace changes all the time, and it has this year. Let's face it, a year ago today, we were in the midst of the greatest downturn in the economy since, 1929. I mean, the entire lending industry kind of fell off a cliff. Non-QM went non-existent. The requirements to get a loan were very high. This is, of course, in the early days of the pandemic, before anybody knew anything about it and about how business was going to go forward. The federal government under the Trump administration stepped in and said, look, we're going to do moratoriums on mortgages, on rent payments. We're going to do Operation Warp Speed to get the vaccine going. And we're going to make sure that people don't lose their homes And we're going to, I think it was a $1.2 trillion stimulus package where checks were sent directly to borrowers. So a lot of good things were done in order to keep people in their homes at that particular time. But since that time, we have seen a lot of products come back to the market. Non-QM is back in full force, a lot of FHA conventional products as well. Now, we've seen the rates tick up a little bit. Let's talk about that just for 1 second. Let's see, 30-year fixed rate is at 3.34, 15 years at 2.81, the FHA is at 2.79, jumbo at 3.33. That jumbo percentage has been that way for 2 months. It's a very steady product. The jumbo market itself is one that a lot of lenders are going after. So this jumbo number has really remained steady and constant, and it's low. The 5-1 ARM is at 2.69, and the 10-year yield is at 1.659. All of these numbers are down from yesterday. Down meaning that rates are down and the yield is down. If the yield's down, that means the rates are down. The yield's up means the rates are up. And we've talked about the correlation between those two on shows in the past, and I won't do it again. So rates are good. Two people coming or having to been on the show talking about rates and programs and what you can expect from the marketplace, given that the market is once again changing. With the rates that have gone up, I mean, a year ago, or let's say 6-7 months ago, you could get a 30-year 2.75. Well, obviously it's gone up by half to three quarters of a point across the board. And that really affects the number of people in the mortgage market who can do a refinance. In the purchase market, obviously we're looking at not loose guidelines, looser guidelines than they were a year ago, but it's still tight. I mean, you still have to prove obviously ability to repay and all the things credit-wise that you need for these types of rates. If you don't have the credit score, right, these rates are going to be different. FHA, not so much because you pay insurance. Everybody knows that. Okay, there is a homeownership gap. What is the homeownership gap? It is the reason why the federal government steps into housing. It's the reason why fair housing laws were passed in 1964. The Great Society. And by the way, the Great Society, Daryl, you remember the Great Society, Lyndon Johnson?
I do.
Okay. So you know that at that time, the Voting Rights Act and the Fair Housing Act were all enacted under that administration. And some of the chipping away that we're doing now in certain states against both of those things are hurting housing market. And they're hurting the housing market for two reasons. One, representation in government is key to making sure that the local people get a say in what happens to whether they can obtain a mortgage. And why do I say local? Yes, Washington has a lot to do with it. The Fed has a lot to do with it. Congress has a lot to do with it. Lenders are regulated by the CFPB. These are all Washington-based people. But it's the people at the local level who go into the local lender, bank, mortgage banker, mortgage broker, who demand products of a certain nature in order to be able to get a mortgage, to be able to afford the payments. And those pressures on bankers, brokers, it's a lot of people say it's the other way around, right? You have to take what you get, live like it or leave it. It's exactly the opposite. The mortgage marketplace is one of those things whereby pressures from the market dictate what's going to be happening. For instance, if a lender needs a certain number of loans on a monthly, they can't keep standards where they will not get applications. So therefore, they have to offer programs that appeal to those people in their market. Not every lender is a national lender. A lot of lenders are local. A lot of lenders are state chartered banks, are credit unions, people who lend money locally to their particular membership. These are all pressure from the down up rather than the top down. And those are good things in the marketplace. And I think that the more of that we have, the better of that. So anything that limits voting, anything that limits home ownership via whatever mechanisms do that. 2 minutes, Daryl, is that what you're saying? Yes, okay, thank you.
Give a piece of chance.
Okay. Exactly. Bees. Okay. So what else is happening here oh yeah, we talked about the appraisal gap a little bit. Appraisal gap simply means that if you're selling a house at $200,000, you have 10 different offers and the last offer comes in at $230,000. Well, you're going to take the highest offer, right? Especially if it's got good financing behind it. Well, when the appraiser comes in, they value the property, what you listed it for, at $200,000. So who pays the difference? Really depends on how you write the contract. So a lot of sellers will say in any counter offers, especially if it's multiple offer, you'll get one of these last and best. And if there's anybody who's thinking they're going to renegotiate, if the appraisal comes in low, no, you have to agree right now in this counter to be able to pay for the difference if the appraisal is not up to what the offer is. Now, that's called an appraisal gap. How do we fix that? Normally I say, and this is what irritates me about appraisals, in an up market, in a down market, it doesn't seem to work that way because if it's in a down market, you don't necessarily take the lowest particular comp in the neighborhood and that's your comp. You usually take the lowest comp and then you take general market conditions and lower it even more. Well, the reverse is not true. You can't say, okay, this is really a $230,000 market, but the appraisal based on the comparables is only $200,000. You really should round up because those are market conditions, but it doesn't work that way. Who's paying the gap? It's the buyer. And you have to make sure that you have cash reserves in order to go into that contract to be able to pay for the difference. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton. I'm your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks for tuning in this week. Really appreciate it. And sign in and sign up. Thanks for coming. Bye.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.